Today, we're going to continue in the book of Ephesians, and Grace is going to do the talk today, so you mind if I pray before you come up? Okay, come on up, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this awesome book of Ephesians that you inspired Paul to write. It's just amazing. There's so much good stuff in it, and I know you've shown Grace some really cool stuff already for tonight. So Lord, I just pray that you would speak through her, and that you would give us, who are listening, you give us ears to hear what you have to say. We just say these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. I was really excited. When Chris called me this morning and said he got sick, I was like, yes. Because I love being able to share things from the Bible with people. I love it. And if there's a bigger audience, the better. So we're going to get started. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. So open up. If you don't have Bibles, put up your hand. Let's see. Okay, we still have a few more. Can someone grab some from the back and bring them to the people? There's loads and loads and loads. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. And we're going to get started. You know what? I wasn't using that Bible, but let me just quickly find it for you. Then we can tell everybody else. Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. It would be page 704. So in those Bibles, it's page 704. Okay. Did y'all find it? Page 704. It doesn't have a page number on it, so you have to look at page 705 and assume that the page before is 704. Yeah? You got it? Okay. Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you might know what is the hope to which he's called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all these things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That's what we're going to look at tonight. So starting in verse 15, I think this is a really cool verse. First of all, what do you guys remember about Ephesus, the city? Okay, it was large, had the temple to Artemis. It was a port city. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you remember Chris had that picture and it showed where all those shops would have been? And what would those shops have been selling? Statues, lots of gods, lots of idols, right? They had the Colosseum. It was huge, that city. And it was powerful. But it wasn't necessarily a city that honored God, right? But this is really cool, because despite the kind of city these people lived in, this is what Paul had to say. He said, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints everywhere. I think that's pretty awesome. These people, they weren't living in the best place so that they'd be the best Christians ever. They didn't have people that were always doing the right thing, always around them. But despite that, their faith was known, and their love for other people was known everywhere. Can you imagine if people everywhere said, you know, those Christians in Cold Lake, they love me. I know it. They love me. Okay, that's what Paul said about this church in Ephesus. I know that you love the saints everywhere. That was his first opening of his prayer for them. And he goes on to say, he's pretty excited about them. And he goes on to say this in verse 16. He says, I'm on the wrong page. I don't cease giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Can you imagine having someone feel that way about you? They just can't stop giving thanks for you. That's how he loved them. So they loved him, and he knew it. They loved the Christians everywhere, and he knew it. But he loved them, and he couldn't stop thanking God. God, I'm so grateful for this group in Ephesus. They are awesome. They love you. They love others. And they show it. And this is how Paul thinks about love. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 13, which I don't know the page in that one because I failed to grab that Bible. But 1 Corinthians 13, this is what Paul says love is. He says, love is patient. Love is kind. You probably know this one, right? They always say it at weddings. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It isn't self-seeking or rude. It starts in verse 4. That's where I'm saying it from. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. That's what Paul thought about the people in Ephesus. This is what he heard they were doing. They weren't boastful or proud or arrogant or self-seeking. They were lifting other people up. They were hopeful for all the saints. They were rejoicing with those that were rejoicing, and they were mourning with those that mourned. That's pretty cool, right? And he goes on to pray for them. But what I think is really exciting was, how did this group get like that? They weren't surrounded. Like I said, they weren't surrounded by a great support in their whole city, were they? So how did they get like that? Well, as Paul prays, he prays for the things I think that they were already doing. He prays for a spirit of wisdom and insight so that they can grow in the knowledge of God. That's what it says in verse 16. Let's read it from there instead of me just saying it. He says, I don't cease giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. So I think, you know, they were already on the right track. And Paul was supporting them in that track and praying for even more for them, more wisdom, more insight, more light that comes from God. And I was thinking about this, and I thought about how it was when I first fell in love with God. Did you know you can fall in love with him? I can promise you, you can. I was 19, and I was at Bible school, and it's a bit of a weird story, but there's a story in the Bible about Balaam and a donkey, and this donkey, God uses him to speak, literally speak to Balaam, to get his attention. Well, I was walking around the grounds of this Bible school, and it has a farm, and there's sheep. And for some reason, I was walking past those sheep, and I was like, God, please don't use those sheep to speak to me. I'm listening. You can tell me stuff. Don't open those mouths. I don't even know why I thought that, but I did. I was walking past them. I was like, I don't want to see them open their mouths at me. And they didn't. They just went, meh, you know, and I kept going. And the next day when I was walking past, this Bible verse popped to my head. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Something that Jesus said to Peter. I was like, oh yeah, I saw some sheep. I remembered that verse. And I kept going. But every day, I would always walk this loop, they called it the loop, around the grounds through this farm. And every day that I did that, I would think of this verse. And then it got to the point that the whole time I'm walking, and it's 3 kilometers, the whole time I'm walking, there's this verse going over and over and over in my head. I was like, I gotta think about something else. Eventually, it wasn't just when I was walking. In fact, I avoided that loop. It's like, I don't want to see those sheep. I can't think of anything but this verse. And yes, I love God. And then I was sitting in the lectures, and I'd hear, meh, and I'd think of the verse. And I was, you know, just going about my business, eating my dinner, and hear, meh, oh, sheep. It was about 3 weeks later, with this verse going in my head, and there was a guest speaker came, and he was talking about just a whole bunch of verses around that. And he just mentioned those verses, really short. He said, this is kind of an aside. But he talked about those verses and about loving God, and loving God in different ways. Loving God like a king, loving God like a father, and loving God like being in love with him. I was like, you can be in love with God? That's weird. It's kind of weird to think of God romantically, right? Let's be honest, that's strange. But I was like, but God, if that's what you want me to do, I want to be in love with you. And so it was strange, but over the course of the year, that's it, I never thought of that verse very much anymore. But over the course of the year, I realized I was falling in love with God. I just kept thinking about him. And I kept wanting to talk to people about him. I would fall asleep thinking about, oh, God is awesome. He is so great. I can't believe he loves me. I can't believe he chose me of all people. And I'd look at a sunset and be like, I can't believe I know the guy that did that. That's amazing. And by the end of the year, I realized, you know what? I've fallen for him. I don't just love God like I love my parents. I think about him all the time. I can't shut up about him, you know? And I was in love with him. I got that. And I think when you become a new believer, sometimes that happens. You're just like, God is so amazing. And you think of him like that. But sometimes it can turn into more of a crush, I think, than love. And the crush, when you have a crush on someone, have you ever had a crush on a celebrity? Never. I'm the only one, I think, probably in the world. But I once or twice or many times have had a crush on a celebrity. And it feels great to think about them and to look at their picture or watch their movies or listen to their music. But I don't know them, right? I have no real relationship with them. And I think sometimes we can do that with God. We can have a crush on him where we're happy to just look at the sunset and look at, you know, sing the nice songs in church. But we don't investigate who he is. We don't try and find out about what makes God tick, right? Does that make sense? And Paul, I think he was really concerned here that this people, they loved God. They did. But he wants to make sure they keep going beyond that. He wants to make sure that not only are they falling in love with God, they're investigating him. They're studying what makes him tick, who he is. And it says God does the same with us. There's verses where it says he investigates us. He knows when we stand up and when we sit down again. Every time, not just once or twice. He counts the hairs on our head. You know, that's what God does with us. That's the kind of love that he wants from us in return. He wants us to investigate him. And this is what Paul's praying for them, that their love will abound more and more in knowledge of who God is, in wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit, in depth of insight, so that they'll mature. So their love won't just be a crush. It'll be deep and lasting. That's what he wants for them. He gives this message as well when it talks about wisdom. He wrote this to another church. He said, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom. A wisdom that's been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. If they had, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory." Because remember, the people then, Paul was around at the time of Christ, so he knows that the rulers of that time, if they really understood, if they had wisdom that came from the Holy Spirit, they wouldn't have crucified him. However, it's written, "No eyes seen, no ears heard, no mind has conceived what God's prepared for those who love him." But God revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches out all things. Like we're talking about investigating. You won't even want to investigate God. You won't want to find out what makes him tick if the Holy Spirit isn't prompting you to do it. He says the Spirit searches out all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We haven't received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, that we might understand what God's freely given us. And it says later on in the same passage, it says, but we have the mind of Christ. If you choose Jesus and he empowers you by his Holy Spirit, it says he gives you the mind of Christ. That's pretty impressive, right? Jesus knew some crazy stuff. He had insight into other people. And you know what? The Holy Spirit can give you that same insight, that same wisdom, not just into God, but also into your fellow believers. And he can help you love them in ways that you couldn't do by yourself. I like, too, when we're reading this passage, Paul doesn't just say, I'm praying for you. He says what he's praying for them. And I've tried to do that since I had to learn this passage specifically when I was in camp once. The speaker, he made us repeat it every day to him twice a day. And by the end, I knew it. But Paul, I love that he doesn't just say, I'm praying for you. He makes it really personal, and he tells them why he's praying for them. And a lot of that has to do with God's glory. And I want to talk about that. That's the really important bit in this second part of this passage. But first, I want you to think about what power is, what strength is. And I put together a little PowerPoint that Robin's going to put up for me. It might take a little bit. But I want you to first call out, what are some things that are powerful?
Okay. The power to levitate things.
Power with your mind. Mental powers. Okay. What else? Is she powerful? She is. She's the queen of kingdoms. Multiple countries, she's their queen. But guess what? Our God's greater. What about this guy? Powerful? Huh? Our God's greater. Okay, what about this guy? Powerful? Look it, he's holding up the moon. Okay. Is his kryptonite not kryptonite? Well, no matter, because our God's greater. You know, there's a verse. I'm just going to stop there. I think I wrote it down. But there's this verse. Let me see. God not only created the earth, but he holds it together by his word. It says, the sun is the radiance of God's glory. This is in Hebrews 1:3. And the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. He doesn't even have to use his hand. He sustains this whole earth by his word. After he'd provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. That's in Hebrews 1:3. I thought that was pretty cool. Our God's greater. He can do more than hold the moon in his hand. What's the next one? I can't remember. Powerful looking, right? A tornado and lightning. But who made that? God. God is greater. And then I thought this one was pretty cool. A volcano and lightning. But guess what? Our God is greater. Those volcanoes don't erupt by themselves. God allows that to happen.
Why does he allow that when everybody dies?
Not everybody dies. That one, I don't think there was any deaths, actually. That was that one in Iceland. Sometimes there are. You know what? That's God's business. It says they're going to increase and increase and increase before he comes. Sometimes it's just to show, look, I am great. I am greater. I made these things, but I'm greater. What was the next one again? Oh, yeah. Oh. That's powerful, right? Crazy power. But you know what? Our God is greater. Yeah? And I just want to talk about some of the things that happened. You know, in the Old Testament, the people... that was awesome, right? See that? That looks crazy. I can't even imagine seeing that in real life. There were some things that God allowed the people in the Old Testament, his people, the nation of Israel, to see that was crazy. I can't even imagine it. They got to see things like a pillar of fire that led them places. They just would look at it, and it moved, but it was a pillar, and they watched it move, and they had to follow it. And God led them through the desert. And during the day, it was a pillar of cloud. And they followed that. They got to see that. They got to see things like God, when he was talking to Moses, it says that there was this cloud came down on the mountain, and there was like these thunderous voices. And they heard it, and it was powerful. And when they saw Moses come back down, Moses, who'd been able to talk to God, he didn't even see God's face. Moses came down and it says his face was shining. His face shone, literally. He reflected the glory of God. Like, and it reminded me of, you know, the moon doesn't have its own light, right? We know that. I hope you know that from science. But it reflects the sun. So, I feel like Moses was mooning them, in a way. Okay? He came down, and his face reflected the glory of God. It shone, right? It shone at them. And he covered it up because he knew that as he wasn't in the presence of God, it would fade away. They saw all that stuff. And you know what they did? Moses was up a little too long talking to God, so they made a calf, a golden calf, and they started to worship it. That seems crazy, right? Doesn't it seem insane that they would worship this thing that they made themselves when they hear this thunderous voice on the mountain? And they saw God leading them with fire and pillars, and they saw the ocean, the sea, split in half, so they could walk through it. But Moses, their leader, was gone too long. So they started to make a calf, something else they could worship. And I think sometimes it's true in our lives that we see God do something glorious. I know this is true in myself. Sometimes I've seen God do crazy, amazing things. I've seen people get healed. I have. And it can be nothing but God's power doing it. I've seen him provide for my needs when I was like, I have nothing, God. I have no money. And someone would say, you know what? Can you do my laundry? I'll give you this money. I'd be like, okay, I'll do your laundry and I'll get paid. I don't mind. I'm not proud. You know? So God's done lots of things in my life. And not only that, he's met me in ways that are pretty amazing. But despite that, I can get caught up just watching movies and just talking about celebrities. Trust me, I really love talking about celebrities. And I can get caught up doing so many different things and take my eyes off the glory of God and forget that he's powerful. And when I forget that he's powerful, there's so many things that creep into my life and make me afraid. And recently, not that long ago, one of the things that made me really afraid was I went to the doctor and he said, your blood pressure is more than 2 times what it should be, and you can die if you do anything. So don't do anything. You know what that does to your blood pressure when they say something like that? It goes crazy. It was terrible. And I was like, no. I was supposed to be moving the next day to England. I didn't. As you can see, I'm still here. There's so many things I was trying to do and trying to accomplish, and it totally upset my plans. And although I was feeling not terrible when I went into the doctor and he told me that, I went home and my heart was just pounding in my chest. And I was so scared. I was hyperventilating, you know, a lot of the time. And I was like, God, how did this happen to me? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? But I wasn't really thinking about God and his power to heal or to change me. I was like, oh no, I'm going to die. That's all I could think. And sometimes I would have my parents, who are good Christian people, and they'd remind me, our friends would remind me, you know what? God's good. He can heal you. Yeah, but it's really high. My blood pressure is crazy right now. If I even walk around the block, my doctor said I could die. That's pretty scary. But you know what? I'm still here. God is mighty to save and powerful, and I could have gotten through that with a lot less stress if I'd remembered the glory of God. If I'd remembered right away how big he is, how great he is. If I remembered the one that formed my heart and formed my blood vessels loves me with an everlasting love, I would have come through much faster. And you know what? Slowly over time, people kept reminding me that, and it started to make sense. And it reminded me of this other analogy that I want to tell you that I remembered from when I was learning to fall in love with God. I saw this image of him. And I wish there was someone like my brothers here. Darcy's probably close, but I had this image of me as a really little girl getting close to somebody who was gigantic. And at first, everyone around, Darcy's not gigantic enough, really. Sorry. Because it was God, not Darcy. He's not big enough. Imagine someone like 7 times Darcy's size and me like a little ant. Okay? This is kind of the picture I had. And as I drew closer to that person, those really frightening things all around me, I used to be scared of a lot of spiritual things. Like, I used to be really afraid of demons and whatever getting me. I don't even know how they'd get me, but I was afraid of it. And at that time, God gave me this picture of drawing really close, and every step I took closer,